Nearly 400 business, government, academic, and community leaders gathered this week at Eastern Michigan University Student Center for Ann Arbor Sparks' annual meeting. It's an event celebrating the people, companies, and partnerships helping shape the future of economic opportunity across Washtenaw County and the greater Ann Arbor region. Joining us in studio to talk about it, we welcome Paul Krutko. He is president and CEO of Ann Arbor Sparks. So nice to see you here.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Record turnout this year.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I first came as CEO, we didn't do an event like this. The board just met and we had an annual conversation. And we decided that assembling community leaders in this way was an important thing for us to try to do. And it's grown over the years. And then the one thing we try to do is bring sort of a dynamic keynote speaker to talk about things that community should think about. So we include that in the program as well.
And this year it was?
It's a woman, Julie Wagner, who leads the Global Institute of Innovation Districts, which are 200 across the world. We've recently become a part of that collaboration and found it to be very valuable. She was highlighting the fact that, you know, we are doing very, very well here. But we don't have sort of that activity concentrated in a district. It's diffuse all over the community. So she was sort of challenging us to think about that idea.
What would that provide that you don't have now then, if you have a district?
What happens is you get a lot of engaged interchange between companies if they're close together. If you think about things that you've covered, we've been very good at attracting R&D facilities here. But they're at different points throughout the community. The idea is if you put them really close together, if you have them in a district, then you even get more economic activity than you were having from them just having their physical presence. So like KLA's in Ann Arbor Township, Wacker is in Pittsfield Township,
right.
Sartorius is near you here.
Uh-huh.
But if you put those three together, then you're now creating a lot of dynamic activity.
That's interesting. Could we, with the landscape we have in the Ann Arbor area, do something like that?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I think that the university's thought about this at the North Campus for a long time. And had moved that idea along. So we keep encouraging to think about that because often when companies approach us for this kind of investment, they say right out of the box, we want to be as close to the university as we possibly can physically. So the companies are saying they want this. It's not just an aspiration to put them together. They want that. People have a lab. You know, they leave their lab, they go to their company. It's that by just walking across the street. It's that kind of environment.
Right.
And other major universities have them. Wisconsin has a number three, actually, around the University of Wisconsin.
So are those properties themselves owned by the university then?
Yeah, up in North Campus where Pfizer was, you know, we could go all the way back 20 years. That property is all owned by the university right on Plymouth Road. So that's always been a target.
Does it take it off the tax rolls, though?
No. It's on. You know, it's already off the tax rolls. I mean, so that's.
But I mean, if you have a company in.
Oh.
I mean, granted, you're going to probably be giving them some tax breaks, but
yeah.
But also, you know, would that if they're not on other property, would that take them off the tax rolls?
You know, I think it depends. I mean, there's also the opportunity, and I know that Mike Martin and First Martin has looked at this. If you think about across Plymouth. Is where Google put their campus, right?
Right.
So you could have development across the street
right.
from this.
Close enough.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. So do you think that's going to be worked on this upcoming year?
We will continue to encourage it. But we you know, bringing keynote speakers, last year, if you recall, we brought a guy who is a major reporter and investigator on climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how climate migration is already happening and how we're a sweet spot. I think you and I talked about that for folks. So that's kind of what we try to do with the keynoter. We try to bring new ideas for the community to hear.
To
in
think
addition
about.
To hearing all the things that we've accomplished in the last year.
You also honored a number of people at the Ann Arbor Spark meeting this week. Tell us about the Volunteer of the Year, Michael Cole.
Yeah. So one of the things we try to do, you know, if you recall, Lucianne, back in the day when we had Deals of the Year, it was a big community event. And that kind of went away. And so when we tried to put together a new kind of program for our annual meeting. We thought we should do some kind of acknowledgement of people and things that happened in the community. So Michael, you know, was a leader in Bank of Ann Arbor in terms of creating the sort of their technology financial support arm of Bank of Ann Arbor, and has been a tremendous partner for us. And I think a lot of people may know this or not know this, is that Bank of Ann Arbor is the leading financial entity in our region supporting technology companies. You might think, oh, it's the big banks, you know, the Detroit banks, but it's not. It's Bank of Ann Arbor. And Michael led that team under Tim Marshall, who's the CEO for a number of years. And then he had some fun things we highlighted where, you know, he's created tech music events where various of the bros, I guess, if you will, in the tech community who play various instruments get together
They're
and
good
jam.
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's done a lot indeed. There is the Entrepreneurial Services Company of the Year. What is that?
Yeah, so what we do, in you know, across our business lines, one is direct support for entrepreneurial early tech companies, which many people know us for. So we honor a company every year that we think is a great example that's had success in the community. So this year was Acadium Life Sciences. Some of these things that they do are highly technical. So this one is they have created a way for separating cells in a way to analyze them for what we're getting into these days, personalized medicine and things like that. So they have came out of University of Michigan. We helped them grow here through our support and invested in them. And they've gone on to have like over 100 customers doing that.
Wonderful. The business development project of the year.
Yeah. So this is one that gets to sort of the point I was making earlier about the innovation district potential. This is a company called Torque Robotics. They make something They are engaged in research and development of automated over-the-road semis. So it's highly technical. It's something that needs to be researched and done very carefully if you think about what we're describing. And so they decided to place their R&D facility here, 500 engineers working on that. And they're taking advantage of the American Center for Mobility. That was one of the things that when we created that facility, we were hoping we would attract this kind of development related to it. So that's who they are, and we're really excited. But again, they are located right off 23 at Getty's. And so again, if you had put them close to other companies, you might create even more dynamic things.
Interesting. Gosh, autonomous trucking. Imagine that.
Well, one of the things that you said, just for your listeners to know, there is a real shortage of over-the-road drivers. And the ones that are in the business are in their 50s and 60s, the cohort mostly. And there's a concern of what's going to happen as those baby boomers age out and stop being over-the-road truckers. So this is responding to that potentiality.
A huge need. Speaking of the American Center for Mobility, it received the Economic Impact Award.
Yeah, we wanted to acknowledge that we are now at the 10th year anniversary of ACM, and that, you know, we have to be respectful and a spark as well as the ACM board that the companies that work there want to maintain confidentiality because it's all competitive. So it's hard for us to say, just like we brag about Torque Robotics, oh, all these companies are doing work there. But the project is going very, very well. And there are autonomy we found has gone full circle. As I mentioned, Torque is working there, but robo-taxi firms are there and others where when it started, everybody told us, well, we'll figure out how this works in the next 3 years. Obviously, they haven't figured it out. And so this kind of facility is needed. Mm-hmm. And we now see a number of companies using the site in a very significant way, like Toyota and like Torque.
Over at the historic Willow Run site in Ypsilanti Township.
Exactly.
This is a 500-acre testing and development campus.
Right.
That's huge. And it's doing some incredible work out there.
It is. And it's a use for the site, if you recall what was there. That was the Arsenal Democracy. where Henry Ford told President Roosevelt, we can build a bomb in an hour, and everybody said he was crazy, and they did. But it was a plant that was built at a time where we didn't have the EPA. Nobody really knew if you put something in the ground, what would happen.
Yeah.
And so the use is a good use because we're able to take the plant away but have this on top of it and achieve the work we're doing now.
Mm. And then finally, the Legend Award going to Dr. Stephen Forrest.
Yeah, I was really pleased that we took this opportunity to acknowledge Steve. Steve, for your audience to know, is one of the most dynamic researchers that is at the University of Michigan and potentially in the world. All of the screens, you're looking at a screen now, I'm looking at a screen, your engineer is looking at a screen. Steve invented OLED technology, and he sold it to...
Really?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
So, yes. And so he ultimately sold that to Universal Displays, and then that has gone into everybody's screen every place in the world. So he came to the University of Michigan. Mary Sue Kuhlman recruited him. He brought his lab here. He became vice president of research for the university, and I think you know at the university... I always say this, vice presidents are like real. There's not like hundreds of them. There's mm-hmm. only two or three. And so he led the research program. And Steve was the chair of Spark when I was recruited, when Mike Finney left with Governor Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was my first chair of the board of Spark. So that shows his involvement. And just bragging on Steve a little bit, his claim to fame is he attracts these people to run organizations. He was chair of UMS and recruited Matthew Van Beezen.
Oh, really?
So he claims all the time, you know, I recruited Krutko and I recruited Van Beezen, right? So, but he is still working hard. He has a lab and he's a professor on the site, and we're working with him on a very exciting company called Heat to Power, which is a way to turn heat that things are generating into electric power, and it's using chips and optical displays and all this. So he hasn't stopped
wow.
inventing. And so we're pleased. We're doing an investment in that project.
How far off is that, do you think?
He has raised $60 million. He is now looking at building out there's going to be a fab because this is a chip-based optical way to harvest heat. So think with me. A solar panel, we know, takes the photovoltaics. But it's also heat that's generating. What he's adding on to it is, and it's a way to harvest more heat.
To capture it.
To put into the electrical grid to potentially reduce energy prices and not be dependent on oil and coal and everything else.
Legend Award going to Dr. Stephen
Forrest. So it's legend. Doesn't it sound legendary?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. We'll have to get him on the show soon.
Yeah,
I'd
sure.
love to talk
sure.
with him again. We're talking with Paul Krutko, CEO of Ann Arbor Spark, this nonprofit economic development organization focused on advancing the Ann Arbor region as a leading destination for innovation, business growth, and talent. And we're just getting a snapshot of some of the projects going on here, but so much more is happening. And unfortunately, it does happen very quietly in this community. And I think the broader community doesn't always appreciate
right.
the work that's being done by Ann Arbor Spark and the results.
Yeah, I think what's unique about Spark, and I say this as I talk to people around the country, sometimes in global audiences, is that the platform that was created 20 years ago, many times a community has these initiatives and they evaporate in 4 or 5 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the people that are involved in this and the companies have stuck to it. So we're unique. We have all three academic institutions on the board. 60 private sector companies provide financial support. And we have local government involved. And that platform has allowed us to take on new projects. ACM was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you recall, we were well positioned when COVID happened to distribute $16 million to small businesses throughout the community. So I really think a lot about how we were very fortunate of those folks 20 years ago who said we need to do something like this and put us in place. But you're right, and it's our next big event, series of events comes up is A2Tech 360.
Yeah.
And that's why we did that. Your point about does the community know what's going on? And so you get a chance with that over 10 days to learn a lot about what's going on.
Yeah, that's coming up this fall, right?
This fall.
And it is a marvelous event. There's so many ways for community members to get involved with that and to see the work firsthand.
Yeah, one of the things that we, you know, we get heartened by, we nearby, we've held at the Sheridan here a Women in Tech event that gets sold out where you see 500 women. You don't see a male face in the audience, except me if I show to show up. But you get a sense of that there is how robust the tech community here is in terms of women being involved. Right. So that's one of our events.
Yeah, and so many more involved in this as well. This Tech Trek is phenomenal. You can go to A2Tech360 on the Ann Arbor Spark site, which is AnnArborUSA.org, AnnArborUSA.org, and explore this marvelous organization championing our community and the businesses that are going on here in technology. What does the future hold? As you look ahead, Paul Krucko, what do you see Ann Arbor Spark championing in the future?
Well, I think one thing is the consistency of what we do. We do share with the audience that over the 20 years, in the kinds of projects like a Torque or a KLA, the attraction or retention of an existing business, not the new startups, we've worked on over 330 projects, and it's $1.5 billion of investment. That's consistent effort over time. So one answer to you is the way you have success in economic development is you're consistent and you keep adding onto what you're already doing. On the other hand, I think the things that we think are important is we need to recognize that we're having the economic growth here. The board, when we redid our strategic plan, added a community pillar to the plan. We need to be, as an organization, engaged in helping to ensure that we create opportunity for everyone in the community and that we are not generating so much economic activity that housing prices, housing gets out of control, traffic gets out of control, those kinds of things. We've been actively working in the area of thinking about childcare in the community. I think you and I have talked before.
Yes.
We have the highest cost of childcare in the state, and we are having diminishing numbers of people in that business. But I think what we're excited about, which it may, and some in your audience may find controversial, 21st century infrastructure is really important. We were very supportive of the OpenEye-related project in Saline Township.
Yeah, right.
You can say that, is that the right site or should it be someplace else? But the point is, it's 21st century infrastructure, just like the railroads were in the 19th century, just like airports were in the 20th century. To be competitive, you need to have those assets. We're very bullish on the university's project with Los Alamos, which is an advanced computing facility. This community needs to make a decision about where to site it. We don't disagree with that community engagement in deciding where something should be.
Mm-hmm.
However, having an advanced computing facility here is 21st century infrastructure. It's probably existential for the university to have it to continue to be the research place it is. So those are the kind of things I think we want to make sure the community grows in an appropriate way that everybody feels like they benefit.
But what I'm hearing is not always all about technology. When you bring up housing and healthcare and childcare,
right,
it's the whole package.
Yeah, because the place is important in economic development. When people and companies think about locating, they may initially think about, well, you know, is there talented people there that can work for me? Is there a site for me that I can move into right away, which has been a challenge in our community? But then they immediately kind of go to, well, is this going to be a good place for my people to live? What is the aspects of it? And I think one of the things we have been blessed with, if you look at, we get rated highly as a community across all kinds of measures, and people can take that with a grain of salt. Well, yeah, it's just a rating thing. But if you're top rated across lots of these,
yeah,
it speaks to that there's something really positive here. And it's important that you maintain that. And so that's why we think we have a role in the way the board approached it is there are some things that we can lead on as an organization, some things we can be the convener on, getting people together to talk about, and there are other things that we should just be supporting and moving along. So we need to nurture this. But if you look at sort of what's happened in Silicon Valley, it's too expensive for people to live there. It's
right.
Too hard to get around. We're not Silicon Valley, but we need to be careful about how we approach the future.
And why do you think those companies are looking at Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah, and when they come here, that's one of the reasons their people are very excited about coming here, because I can afford to live here. I can, you know, they kind of laugh at us a little bit, the transplants. They'll say, oh, you're complaining about traffic when we talk about my commute went from 10 minutes to 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's always fun catching up with you. Thank you so much. It was a phenomenal meeting this week for Ann Arbor Spark. And this area recognizes one of the top five innovation ecosystems in the Midwest. Ann Arbor leading in startup density and ranking among the top regions for startup momentum, patents, capital efficiency. And Ann Arbor Spark is right at the forefront of that. Paul, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Krutko, CEO of Ann Arbor Spark, on the Lucy Ann Lance Show, Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY.